Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm your host. This is the Archbishop, Dr. Marcia Karen Smith Abrams Almasi, coming to you live from the United States of America. I just want to thank God for each and every one that takes the time out of their busy schedule to tune in to our broadcast as we engage in the Word of God, speaking it audibly. And live and in living color. We just thank God for each and every one that, you know, take the time to, you know, just be here with us. I just really am so grateful to God who has made, you know, such a great impact on my life. And I just thank God for him. I thank God for the anointing. I thank God for everything that God is about. I thank God for God. Amen. He's just so awesome, and he's just fabulous in all his ways. He's just a gentle giant, and he's all that you need, you know. And I just thank God for just the ability to be, you know, a part of, you know, his epistles to, you know, share the word of God with his people all over the world. And I'm just so honored to be in the number to do such a thing. You know, it's not something that, you know, everybody's into. You know, there's a lot of people that says, Lord, Lord, but, you know, they're not about God. They're not about God's business. You know, they really aren't. You really have to fathom a love for him. And the only way to get that type of love is to ask God, you know, ask God to give you the love for him. Because remember, he first loved us. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him does not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And this is life here on this earth in the land of the living while we yet live, you know, and have all the activities of our being, you know, and we're in the right place, you know, in our mind, our mentality, our soul, our spirit. Our mind is the soul, you know. So it's just a good thing to, you know, eclipse that, to be a part of God's elect, you know, one of his elected officials. You know, it's just a great honor, man, because who are we? You know, we're made of dust, right? We're told that. And from dust we came and from dust we return, and yet God takes the time to, you know, give us the perfect will and give us, you know, time. He spends time with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to talk to us and see what we're going to do and what we're all about. And he just let us have this free will to do whatever it is that, you know, we can create and do. And you know, being as will God, you know, we can create things and be about his business or not. You know, he's just so amazing to me. So I just thank God for this opportunity to give him praise. Honor. So I want to start with praise and prayer tonight in the midnight hour and midnight praise. Amen. Again, this is the Archbishop Dr. Marcia Karen Smith Abrams Almasi. I thank God for each and every one of you just tuned into the broadcast in the midnight hour. We're on the air each and every night from 6 a.m. in the morning all the way to the midnight hour. You know, every hour on the hour, we're here Monday through Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, and back again. Several ministries, you know, that grace the stage, you know, that's part of the network, and they're doing their own thing, and just phenomenal men and women of God just bringing it, you know. And I'm just so proud to be a part of those people that have a consistent, you know, walk with God and want to love upon God, you know. I just thank God for that, to be a part of that. The number, you know. Amen. So, amen. We just want to take the time just to praise him tonight. Father God, we give your name praise. I thank you so much for being a part of my life. And I pray that you just continue to expound yourself on the people, Lord God, and hear your word. And as we talk about tonight, why women, you know, give up on the promises that you give to them so easily. Why, you know, they, you know, I just pray that they'll have faith in you, Lord God, because you'll keep every promises that you have said and spoken and have impressed on their heart, their mind, their body, and soul. He promised that they will receive it, you know. You just have to wait on you. So I just thank you, Lord God, just for who you are and whose you are. I just thank you so much for just being the author and the finisher of my faith. You're just so awesome in every way, in every aspect of my life. And I thank you, Lord God, just ignite my lips, my tongue, that I may speak your words clearly, audibly, Lord God, with those that are listening, that they'll have an understanding heart and a mind to understand what you know, are bringing forward. Amen. And I pray, Lord God, that they will understand for themselves your word. As we read your word coming in from Genesis 34, we'll read it again because I was told by some of my colleagues on the online said that they couldn't hear and there was no sound. So I'm going to just do another rebroadcast of you know, the same scriptures. And so I ask, Lord God, that you just will strengthen us as we read your word again. It's never old, you know. If you bring a new thought every time we read your word, Lord God. So empower me, envelop me, that I can expound on your word, Lord God, so that everyone can understand, even a baby can understand what thus says the Lord, and it's not anything elusive or confusing or anything, just clear to them, that a childlike mind, a child can understand the word of God. We thank you, Father, for this night and the midnight hour. We move from one day into the next day, a day we'll never see again. Amen. April 6, 2023 is gone. We have 15 minutes left in that hour. And so we move into a new day, a new dawn. We thank you so much, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God and bless his holy name. Now, I'm looking at my online thing, and I don't know what's going on with the my system, but I don't see the it's not populating for me, so I think I may have to come out of the systems and refresh my page. But I want to thank God for everyone that's listening in Radio Land. Amen. As we bring forth the word of God here with each and every one as we minister. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Ooh, this weekend is coming up. Easter. I'm getting Easter messages. Easter. Some people say resurrection. Saturday, resurrection. Sunday, Good Friday, and resurrection Monday. The holiest week of the year is this time. I just want to pray for, oh my gosh, the Catholic Church is going through so much again. They're in the news. I'll pray for those archdiocese there in Baltimore, Maryland. Some scandals going on. We just thank God that God's word is ever present before us. We don't have to worry when man does something wrong that it affects the church of the living God, because God's word never fails us, you know. He never leaves us, never fails us. He's just an awesome God, and I just thank God for the opportunity to be a priest and an archbishop. So we just will pray for those who have done wrong, you know, and done wrong to children, and we pray, Lord God, that you'll heal those children, you know, and, you know, some are grown up and have gone through some devastating things, you know. And each and every human being has gone through so much, you know, just live a little bit, you know, we go through. But I just thank God for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. So let's turn our attention to this, the question that we have is, why do women give up so easily, you know, and they give up on God, you know. We see it depicted in the word of God. We see it depicted the promises that were given. And time again, woman after woman just gave up, you know, their rights to another woman. And they gave, you know, and you're like, why did they do that, you know, and cause so much confusion moving forward. But anyway, So let's listen in to the word of God. So I'm going to go ahead and read again Genesis chapter 34, and I want to come out of the online system and open it back up again so that I can see the other side, my other live stream. It's not the TV side. It's not showing up right now. So I gotta download, come out, or refresh my page and stuff, and then I'll be able to see, because I know it's there because I loaded the page. And thank you for tuning in, Dr. Seabury. Thank you for helping me again tonight. I know you had a service tonight, and I know you're probably exhausted and got to go to work in the morning. But
Dr. Tisha's here too.
Oh, great. We can have her read some scriptures too.
Yes, and Brother Paris is here too, and he's available.
Oh, we can have him read some scriptures too. Help me out. Oh, my gosh. It's hot in here. Is it hot over where you are? Burning up hot. It was raining, and now it's like crazy. And I got all this water. All right. So what I'll do is when you're reading, I'll be able to then download and come out of the online system and refresh my page and bring up the other side where we live streaming on the TV platform. Amen. And it's something I'm working on, learning, trying to figure out how to work it. So let's start with Genesis chapter 34. We read it earlier. And this is a devastating thing that happened to Diane. And it says that the daughter, the only daughter, and Diane, the daughter of Leah, which she bare to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the country, saw her, he took her and he laid with her and defiled her. And so this, we have the first ever recorded rape, okay, known to man, okay. So this is a violent act. Verse number 3 says, and she, his soul clave unto Diane, and the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and he spake kindly unto the damsel. It's one thing that somebody can have that act, but all he had to have done was wait, talk to the father, talk to the brothers. And get permission, pay the dowry, and then, he would be okay. But this is not what he did, and so he took it upon himself to man up, I guess you'd say. In those days, men rule and women were property, and still in some countries today, it's still the same, where women have no say, they just don't. So that's what we're talking about. Why do women give up so easily? They should have faith in God because he will keep his promise. So that's our theme. But this is what happened to Diane. She was totally disgraced, and because this defilement of a man. These things happen. We're talking about the Archdiocese, in Baltimore, Maryland. Those people ask how does the word of God that's so old apply to the 21st century where we see it happening right here? People were defiled, men defiled boys, old men, old crusty man, go defile a young child, that happened to be a male. And so here, this child will grow up not knowing what's right or what's wrong because someone that they look to, the elder, and they look up to, and they're in the church, and they have the authority of God, and yet they turn around and do this thing that in within themselves as a child, I know they know it's not right, but they don't know if it's wrong. But they're forced or connived, or it's just disgusting, man. But anyway, let's go back to the scripture. It's the same thing. You know, it's a man taking advantage of a woman or a man taking advantage of a boy. It's the same thing. It's being defiled. Understand? So verse 4 says, and Shechem spake unto his father, Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And that's what they had to do in those days. The son that loved the woman, that looked upon her, they would go to the mother and, you know, his mother and father and say, you go and you talk to the elders over there in their camp and tell them I want that woman. And, they bring goods and whatever. But he's doing this thing in reverse. And so anyway, this is where the problem comes in. So Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his son were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth. I mean, they were like, take off, man. P-U, piss off, man. I mean, really? Oh, my, you talking about fighting words. You must have been like, sister, what? Oh, my gosh. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I'm talking about, I don't even know how Jacob was calm. Usually people come out with their guns, you know, in North Carolina. They pop out their guns, you know, they're coming at you. Shotgun wedding, I heard that. So anyway, they were wrought because he had wrought foully in Israel. I remember Jacob's name, became Israel. Remember Jacob? So Jacob is Israel. Israel today is Jacob, right? In inheritance of. So who is Israel? This is Israel, Jacob. This is the beginning of it. So anyway, because he brought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem long for your daughter. Well, that's too bad, too sad. You know, violated her, man. Okay, let me stop. Listen to the commentary here. I pray you give her him to wife and make marriages with us and give us your daughters unto us and take our daughters unto you. But if you read in the Bible later on, God says in his word that you shouldn't marry. You shouldn't go into some families, right? You shouldn't go there because like what God is thinking is that they're going to let you forget about him. And God is a jealous God, so that's why the commandment is there that you ought not to take strange women into your camp or strange men into your camp, It's not just to do not do. It's so that you will not forget God, okay? So it's really a serious matter what they're offering to marry their family into their family and, making them one, and your wealth is my wealth, your land is my wealth. Well, you done defied. My daughter, you don't defy my son. Ain't nobody want none of your stuff. Okay, let me continue. Verse number 10. And he shall dwell with us, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes. Not these people want to pluck out his eyes, okay? Okay, anyway. And he says, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Anyway, verse 12. Y'all already know how I feel about this guy, all right? So ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, okay? And they said unto them, because ye have defiled Dinah, their sister, and they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised. Now, they know when a man that's old gets circumcised, which is, you know, the foreskin, you know, some people in some countries in Africa do this with women, too, with their little girls. They circumcise the foreskin, you know. Ouch, that stuff hurts, man. Oh, God. Anyway, God said to do it when they're 8 days old, okay? But these people are grown people, so they know, you know, good and well, you know, that grown men getting that foreskin taken off is going to, they're going to be some hurting puppies, man, I'm trying to tell you. So they did this deceitfully. So they said that for that word would be a reproach unto us, okay? So verse 15 says, but in this will we consent. So they're lying here, okay? They literally told a bald-faced lie. In this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. They're trying to kill them right here, right? Verse 16, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. So they're lying again here in this scripture. Verse 17 says, but if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. And verse 18 says, and their words pleased Tamar and Shechem, Hamor's son, and the young men deferred not to do the thing because he had delighted in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all of the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only therein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance, every beast of theirs, be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his son, hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore and hurting, they were hurting, man. I'm telling you, this stuff was bad. Oh my gosh. I mean, okay, listen, if women may not understand the seriousness of being circumcised, so let me just explain to you. Say if you had a hangnail, okay? A hangnail is just like a little hair that, you know, you have, you know, your nail, your cuticle. You know, ladies, they like their nails, right? So there's a section, that dead skin, but it kind of peeled back a little bit, right? And so you don't have a cuticle remover. You don't have, you know, anything to push it back. You don't have your nail clip or your foot toenail clip or anything. So what do you think? He said, well, it's only a small little piece of skin. Let me just tear it, you know, with my finger, you know, just peel it off, right? So you take it with your finger and you tear that skin off real fast, thinking that it's going to just snap off because it's only a little piece. But it goes all the way down, almost all the way down, almost an inch down, and it hurts. And that's just a little bit of pain. Well, the foreskin of a man coming off, totally off, his body is a whole lot bigger than that little piece of thing on your nail, right? And it hurts really bad. So you can just think about maybe 3 million times the hurt and the pain that these people were experiencing, and the whole nation was experiencing this, okay, because all of them got circumcised. All the male, young and old, got the foreskins ripped off of them. That is no joke, y'all. So anyway, so that now here comes the plot that the two sons of Jacob now, Simeon and Levi, okay, Dana's brother, okay, because remember all of Jacob's wives and, you know, other women that had children for him, you know, each had brothers, but the only one that had a sister was Simeon and Levi, okay? So they were more offended than all the other brothers, okay? You know, they knew that was like their stepsister, okay? That was my stepsister. But this was their real flesh and blood, mother and father, same one. You know, this was something hurtful to these two young men, you know? So they were going to do something about it because it looked like their dad wasn't going to do nothing about it, right? So they were going to take it upon themselves to just deal with this. All right, so they took a sword, each of them took his own sword, and they came upon the city boldly, and they killed all the males. They slew them, right? You know, it sounds nice, slew. No, they killed those people. And they slew Haman, edge of the sword, and took Diane out of Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and the spoil and the city because they had defiled their sister. So they took their sheep and their ox, and they took everything from these people. They took their ass and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, everything that belonged to them. They took all their wealth and all their little ones, and they took their wives. They took them captive. And the spoils, even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to sink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites, among the Perizzites. And I bring you, and I being few in numbers, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot, you know? So the sons, you know, didn't really agree with what Jacob was saying. Saying, look, I mean, they messed up our sister for life. That means this woman, she can never bear children. She can never get married. Nobody would want her. Everybody would know about what happened to her. It's just a total disgrace, right? So, you know, they're justifying and saying to their father, hey, you know, should we allow this? Because that would be the label back then. Remember, women had no rights back then, right? So she would be forever be put in this posture of a harlot, you know? So, you know, I don't know. But Jacob was also right because, you know, he only had 11 sons and, you know, all the cattle and all of that. That's all he had, you know, his service, men's service and all of that, but not enough band of people to fight on two nations, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, you know, because other people would hear what they did to, you know, this other group of people, right? And, you know, he was just saying, hey, you know, this is bad. This is bad. I think among the people. And I'm in their land, and, you know, so this is where we are. And so we're going to move on to chapter 35. And Dr. Seabury, would you go ahead and I'm going to put it on speaker so I can hear you as you read. And if you get tired, you know, Dr. Tish, you could read chapter 36. And then chapter 37 would be, they're long. So if you have any problems, you know, we could share it up and then I can just come back as soon as I finish downloading, turning on my computer and bring it back up so I can turn on the TV side of the live stream because this should be broadcasting and at midnight and I got to bring it up. Thank you so much.
Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Okay, go ahead. Chapter 35, would you mind reading that? And I'll be right back. I mean, I'm listening, but I just got to take care of this computer stuff.
Patricia, you still here too as well? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I was asking Dr. Tish, was she still here? 1 second, prayers is getting, it's going to start.
Okay. I'm almost finished.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an ark to my God, who appears to you when you were fleeing from your brother,
Esau.
So Jacob said to his household and to all who was with him, gather up the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourself and change your clothes. Let us go up to. Then come. Let's go up to
Bethel,
where I will build an ark to God.
Altar
to God, who answers me in the day of my despair and
distress,
and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their eyes, and Jacob burned them under the oak, then they set out in the
terror
God fell on the town all around them so that no one
pursued
them. Jacob and all the people with him came to
Luz.
There is Bethel in the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
Then he built an altar and called the place
El Bethel,
because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now,
Rebecca's
nurse died and was buried under the oak outside of Bethel. So it was named Alon
Bakuth.
After Jacob returned from
Padan Aram,
God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be called Israel. So he named him Israel, and God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number, a nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. Keep reading, Dr. Amasi.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
The Lord I gave to Abram and Israel, I also gave to you and I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Then they moved on from Bethel while there were still some distance from
Israel.
I began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Do not despair, for you have another son." And she breathed her last, for she was dying. She named her son Beesh. And
Benoni.
Oh my God. Benoni. But his father named him Benjamin.
Oh my God, I'm so
glad.
Which one?
And then they moved on from Bethel. Okay, so Rachel died and was buried on the way to
Ephra.
That is
Bethlehem.
Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillow, and to this day, the pillow marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond, what's that?
Madel
Ada. While Israel was living in that region,
Reuben
went in and slept with his
father,
concubine
Baha,
and Israel heard of it.
Go ahead.
The son of Leah,
Reuben,
firstborn of Jacob, Solomon, Lee,
Judah,
Ishkar, and
Zebulun,
the son of Rachel. Joseph and Benjamin, the son of Rachel, servant Bala, Dan, and
Nefertiti,
the son of Leah, servant of Zechariah. The son of Leah, servant
of Zephla,
Gad, and
Asher.
These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in
Padan
Aram. Jacob came home to his father
Isaac
in
Mamre
near Tirzah.
No, Karis.
Karis.
Abba.
Abba. That is
Hebron.
Hebron, where Adam,
Abraham,
Isaac had stayed.
Isaac.
Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. And his son, Esau and Jacob buried him.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Excellent reading. I know it's hard. But thank you for, you know, for just continuing. Amen.
You're welcome.
Excellent.
Amen.
So here we find that Jacob was turned, his name was turned to Israel. We also find that another one of his sons committed a sinful act with Jacob's concubine, right? And I mean, she had children for Jacob, correct? Am I right about it? Yet his son, right, went in to that woman. So she was obviously young and beautiful or, you know, whatever, but he still had no right to do that, right? Oh, my goodness. So a lot of stuff is happening to Jacob, and you wonder why, you know, all this sinful stuff, man. Amen. But he still was blessed, right? He still was blessed with all of these different things, you know, from his father-in-law taking advantage of him, making him work, you know, and without wages, technically, for 20 years, right? Anyway, so let's move on. I'm going to read chapter 36. Is that Dr. Wilson? Would you mind doing that? This one is a lot of names, but you can go get through it. It's not that bad. Let's pronounce it little bit by little bit, and it'll get through it. It gets about Esau's, the generation of Esau. The two sons, Esau and Jacob. Remember the twins? So now we're going to hear about the Esau's family and his lineage. I want to welcome Dr. Zipporah and also Jeffrey. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's broadcast live. I hope and pray that you can hear me. Please comment in the comment section if you can hear me. Thank you.
Dr. Tish.
Dr. Tish, can you hear us? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, she must, her name is still flowing, okay. But she must not hear.
Okay, do you want me to go ahead and I can read and then you get the next one? Because this one is really hard. I would say it's hard for me to pronounce all these names. So I would just try and pronounce them as best I can. Amen. So here we are at Genesis chapter 36, and it says, now these are the generation of Esau, and who is Edom, the Edomites, okay? It says, Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, and, you know, everyone knows that he was doing it just to spite his father, right? He did that. He went against what his father wanted, you know. Remember, you know, the other man had to make an oath to the father to not marry into where they were, right, and to go into where his father is from, you know, his kinsman, right? That's the big deal, right? So Esau decided to go against his father because he didn't receive the blessing from his father. We got to understand why he rationalized and stayed in Edom. He stayed in Canaan, and he became Edom. So Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adar, and the daughters of Elon, and the Hittites, and the Holy Batmath, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibion, the Hivite, and Bashmath, Ishmael's daughter. Everybody know Ishmael, right? Okay. The sister of Nebodoc. And Ada bared to Esau, Bashmat bare Ruel, and Heholabatma bared Jesus, and Jalem, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and the cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went in the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than their might dwell together, and the land with wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. See, when God promises you something, he says he's going to bless you, he means he's going to bless you. You have to, like, note of this, how important. That's why I said, ladies, do not give up on God. Just have faith in God. When God promises you something, it is yours. You just have to wait on the Lord. Amen? Verse 8 says, thus dwell Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generation of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. And these are the names of Esau's son, Elphaz, the son of Adda, the wife of Esau, Ruel, the son of Bashmat, the wife of Esau, and the son of Elphaz were Tamar, Omar, and Zepho, and Gathan, and Kenaz, and Timnah were concubine to Elphaz, Esau's son, and she bared to Elphaz Amalek. These are the sons of Ada, Esau's wife, and these are the sons of Uel, Nathan, and Zerah, Shama, and Zimziza. These were the sons of Beshima, Esau's wife, and these were the sons of Aholbatma, the daughters of Anna, the daughters of Zibion, and Esau's wife. And she bare to Esau Zeruth and Jamel and Korah. These were dukes of the sons of Esau, the son of Elphaz, and the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zephal, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatan, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Elphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Ada. These are the sons of Ruel, Esau's son, Duke Nathan, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizbah. These are the dukes that came of Ruel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bathshema, Esau's wife, and these are the sons of Aholibatma, Esau's wife, Duke Jeshush, Duke Jalam, Duke Korah, and these are the dukes that were of Aholibatma, and the daughter of Ana, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom. And these are their dukes. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lothan and Shobal and Zibion and Ana and Dishon and Ezer and Dishan
These are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir in the land of Edom, and the children of Lothan were Hori and Heman, and Lothan's sister was Timnah, and the children of Sobal were these, Alvan and Manat, and Elba and Shebo and Onam, and these are the children of Zibeon, and both AJ and Amay. These were was the Amay that found the mules in the wilderness, as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. And the children of Amay were these, Dishon and Abhoabamath, the daughter of Ana. And these are the children of Dishon, Herdan and Isban and Itzran and Hiram, and the children of Ezer, and these Bilan and Zavan and Achan, the children of Dishan, these are Uz and Aran, and these are the dukes that came from the Horites, Duke Lothan, Duke Shobal and Zibeon, Duke Ana, Duke Dishan, Duke Ezer, Duke Dishan. These are the dukes that came from Ori, among these dukes in the land of Siri, and these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom. Before these reigned any king over the children of Israel. And Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of the city is Dibhat. And Bela died, and Jobad, the son of Zerah of Bozar, reigned in his stead. And Jobad died, and Husham of the land of the Temani reigned in his stead. And Husham died, and Hadah, the son of Beda, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And the name of the city is Aveth. And Hadad died, and Samla and Shamreka reigned in his stead. And Shamla died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbar, reigned in his stead. And Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead. And the name of the city was Pah, and his wife's name was Methabel, the daughter of Mered, and the daughter of Mezahad. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places by their names: Duke Timnah, Duke Avan, Duke Jesse, Duke Aholibathma, Duke Ela, Duke Finan, Duke Kenzar, Duke Terma, Duke Mitzar, Duke Magdale, Duke Iran. These be the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations in the land of their possessions. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. Woo! Glory be to God. God bless the reading of his holy word. Oh, my gosh. The inheritance of the children of God moving forward. Two nations came out of one woman. Amen. As we move into Genesis chapter 37, I don't know if you've been on the broadcast all night, Dr. Seabury, if you're able to continue reading chapter 37. If not, we could sum it up for tonight, and we'll start back tomorrow on Genesis 37 if you're not able. Are you able to read chapter 37?
Amen.
Genesis 35. Yes. Okay. Amen. Woo, glory. Then we'll be all caught up, and I think everyone is able to hear me. We have Dr. Tora, who's still on the line. Thank you so much for staying and hanging in with us. Amen.
Amen. God be the glory for the great things that he continues to do. Okay, Psalm 37, Joseph dreams.
Genesis 37.
Yes, that's what I have.
Okay.
And Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother, and the lad was the son of Abelah, and with the sons of Zephra. His father's wives and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren thought that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamt a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamt. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made audience to my sheaf." Okay. "And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamt yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamt a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obvious to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is the dream that thou hast dreamt? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And the brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And the brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shishak. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in the Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, "Here I am." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out in the vale of the Hebron,
mm-hmm.
and came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they fed their flocks."
Mm.
And then man said, "They are departed hence from I heard them, so let's go to Donathan." I think it says
mm-hmm.
Yes, and he and Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Donathan. And when he saw his altar of even before he came near unto him, there conspired against him to slay him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." And they said one of another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben mm-hmm. said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit. This is in the wilderness, and lay no foundation upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass when Joseph came unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes, and behold, a company of Ishmaelite came to Galilee with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto him, "Brethren, what profile is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us tell him in Ishmaelite, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh. And his brethren were contend. Then there passed a Midianite and merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up to Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to Ishmaelite for the 22 pieces of silver and brought to Joseph into Egypt. Wow. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And he returned unto the brethren and said, the child is not in the, and I whither shall I go? And they took to Joseph coat and killed a kid of the goats and split the coat in the blood. Thank you, God. And they set the cast of many colors in the set. And they, wait a minute, I'm sorry. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat into the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought to it their father and their, and said, this have we found now in me, whether it's thy son's coat or no. Wow. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. And evil beast, evil beast had devoured him, and Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his so many days, and out and all his sons and of his daughters rose up to confront him, but he refused to be confronted, and he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son, mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Let's see. And last but not least, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and captain of a guard. And this is the blessed reading of Psalms 37 in its entirety from the King James Version. Amen.
Genesis 37. Amen. Thank you so much for reading. I'm going to read this last chapter and end for tonight, the broadcast. And again, thanks everyone for tuning in, and thank you for reading. You guys did excruciatingly well. I didn't hear any complaints. I think the people online is also hearing us clearly tonight, so we can move forward. So let me go into 33, then tomorrow night I'll start back at chapter 39 in Genesis. Genesis 38, and see what we find in the scripture is all these people lying, you know. Everyone was lying left and right, you know. And it's kind of like everything, it's like a old wives' tale, I think it says, is whatever you sow, that you shall also reap, you know. And you saw Joseph, he deceived, you know, his father-in-law. you know, all the things that he did, you know, by changing out the goats and the camels and the fox and the sheep and the cows and all of these different things, because he knew how to groom the animals, and he ended up with all the speckled animals and so forth, right? The rings, neck, and all of that, leaving his father-in-law with feeble, plain animals, plain, you know, fur. That and, you know, he was deceived by Laban, you know, and here it's like all this stuff is coming back on him through his son. You know, it's just cry and shame that, you know, we got to understand what you say, whatever you do will come back on you. It doesn't matter. But in all this, that all this hiccup and all of this, he is also increasing. And Joseph now is captured and sold into slavery, and, you know, by Ishmael. We know who Ishmael is, right? The Ishmaelites, right? It's just amazing, right? It's like a full circle. And these people are carrying him into Egypt. And, you know, now he's going to be servant of a nation that he doesn't know, a language he doesn't know, a tongue that he doesn't know, but all of a sudden he's going to be learning this new skill sets, right? So let's find out what happened to him. And, you know, as the brothers have said, let's see what's going to happen to his dream, right? Because they didn't believe his dream was going to come to pass, right? And that's why my theme tonight is, why do women give up so easily on God, you know? Have faith in God. He will keep his promise, and he will keep his promise as he gave him to Abraham, as he gave him to Isaac, as he gave him to Jacob. You know, he has given it to Israel. He's blessed Ishmael. All of these people, and we are the, you know, descendants, you know, engrafted through Jesus Christ of the sand that is numbered, unnumberable. Like, we are, you know, the children that there's no number. And wherever we show up at, we just take over that territory, you know. We may just be one, okay, but we end up with to be multitudes, right? And because the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of Jesus Christ, of the promise, the grace and mercy is upon our lives, man. So just trust God when he say he's going to do something for you. If nothing else, I'm trying to say tonight, somebody out there must be listening to me. God has promised you this thing. It is yours, no matter what, you know, evil path may come your way. Because look at Joseph. He's sold into slavery here. You know, this is really bad. And then the brother's lying. Reuben also conspired, you know, try to save his brother, but he also conspired with them to say that he was killed by some wild beast, you know, and he was not, you know, making this man grieve. You know, it's just horrible that the children would do that to their father, right? So Genesis chapter 38, it says that, and it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned in a certain Adamite, whose name was Hira. Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shu'an, and he took her, and he went in unto her, and she conceived and bare him a son, and she called his name Ur, and she conceived again and bare him another son, and she called his name Onan, and she yet again conceived and bare him a son, and called his name Selah, and she was at Shezaz when she bared him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of God. Okay? So evil is not just what happened now in the 21st century where we live. Evil was happening back then. He said that he was wicked in the sight of the Lord, so wicked that God got rid of him. Okay, so let's read. And Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord slew him. Okay, so how evil could he have been? Oh, my God, would God have taken him out? Think about that, man. He must have been really bad. Rank, stink. Verse 8, and Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her,
and raise up the seed in thy brother, to thy brother's name. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground. Okay, so that means he didn't come into her. He, you know, pulled out and then let it go on the ground, okay? And for that, God was mad. And he says, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. So God is killing off all of Judah's sons. Verse 11, then Judah and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remained a widow at thy father's house until Shelah, my son, is grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went, and she dwelt with her father's house. And it, in the process of time, the daughters of Shelah, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up unto the sheep shed to Timnath, he and his friend Hira, and the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law is gone up to Timnath to share his sheep. And she put her widow garments off of her, and she covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in the open palace, in the open place, which is by the way of Timnath, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given him unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought of her as a harlot, because she covered her face. And he turned in unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet and thy bracelet and in thy hand. And he gave it to her, and it came in unto her, and she conceived by him. She arose and went away and laid by her a veil from her. But she put on her garment of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot that was opened by the wayside? And they said, there is no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it for her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I send this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by her whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. And when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, and she said, saying, by the man who these are am I with child. And she said, discern, I pray thee, who are these, the signet and the bracelet and the staff? And Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I have gave her not to Shelah, my son. And he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were born in her womb. And it came to pass as she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first, and it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore, his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. God bless you. His holy word. I thank God. We have 90 seconds left in tonight's broadcast. Again, we want to thank each and every one of you all coming in to listen in, and welcome, welcome. Thank you for showing up tonight. Gabriel, God bless you. Father God, we thank you, Father, for your words. I want to send forth blessings upon your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he keep you and your household during this holy season as we prepare for Good Friday and the Resurrection Saturday and Resurrection Sunday and Resurrection Monday, as we remember what God has done. He died on Calvary's cross and he rose again. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. See you guys tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we read the Word of God. You see, a lot of stuff happens in the Word, right? And if you understand your history, then you'll understand your destiny and what your purpose is you here on this earth now in the land of living. Amen. Because without the history, you don't know what your real purpose is in this life. You know, you're just going on to the break of dawn, but you do have a purpose, and all the things that have happened in your life is for a divine purpose as well. God bless you all, and thank you so much for supporting me and being with me tonight. God bless you all. Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Sleep well. Amen. Amen.